Good morning. If the choir wants to come on up. Just join with the choir singing hymn number 15.
Thank you. Good to be back in church today. Last night I was out working with Stephen, and we had some lights out and getting some things done because the weather was nice. And he said, "Dad, look!" And I was like, "You know, you scare me. I think something happened, or you know, something caught fire." And he said, "Look at this." I looked on the ground, and it was a frog. And he said, "See, spring's coming." I told Maggie the other day, you know, she goes and takes all the winter stuff, puts it out. And then when spring comes, she puts it all up and takes all the summer stuff out. So if you want to wear a short sleeve shirt in the winter, it's quite an ordeal to go through. And the other day I told her, I said, "Well, we can start getting rid of this." She laughed at me. She said, "It's March." The frog said otherwise last night, and we have a pond in our front yard, and you could hear them chirping. So hopefully that means that it's over. We can go on to other things. Brother Matt, can you pull that up, or Jamie, or whoever's back there? So I woke up this morning from, the thing that all night long, Maggie makes me put my phone in the other room because Africa wakes up on another time zone than we do. So the phone just dings. As soon as it hits midnight on our side at 6 o'clock in the morning, and Brian's awake and he starts texting about, things going on. I woke up this morning, and you can see in that picture, if you can see, the ceiling's all wet, and we go to some of the other pictures. That is in an apartment over. So that's the orphanage cafeteria, and it now has a good view of the sky. Wind went through and ripped that clean off last night. So one side's still on, the other side isn't. You can go to the next picture, and just give you some other shots there. You can keep going. So that's a little bit depressing. So that's an apartment that we use for the teachers. Most of that roof stayed on, just a corner got lifted up, but then of course, you know, it rained in there. So just pray for them that, they can start unraveling this and we can get it. So it's rainy season right now. When I took a group over, it was in the middle of summer, so it didn't look like that. When the rains come, man, things get green and beautiful, but you also get some pretty bad storms, and we're just going to have to get the roof on to that. And so pray for that. At the end of the service today, I'll leave an offering plate out there if you want to have a part in that. We'll get the guy out there. We can't leave the roof off the orphanage cafeteria very long. We're going to have bigger problems. But God knows that, and nobody got hurt. And, you know, so. But that's one of the reasons why, you know, we go over there. The good thing is the roof that Greg put on didn't blow off. So that's usually the first question when I send those pictures. Guys that put roofs on over there ask, "That's not my roof, is it?" So, and then there's a sign-up sheet next Saturday at 5:30 at the Fellowship Hall. Maggie and I just wanted to host the seniors for a dinner. There's going to be fried fish and baked chicken and lots of goodies. There's going to be a special guest doing a devotion. Just have a good time. Would love to have you be a part of that. We just need you to sign up just so we know how much food that we need to make. So if you want to be a part of that, we'd love to have you. And the sign-up sheet's up here. And Brother Ronnie, I think that's it.
All right, if everybody would please stand and grab a hymn book and turn to page 299, or Brother Deacon's come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Chris, would you ask blessing and offering, please? Thank you.
There's never been a day that I went hungry. Never had a night I had no place to sleep. Never had a prayer that went unanswered. You might be wondering how that could be. Well, I'm right here living in the moment. To tell the truth, I just don't really care all that much about tomorrow, because I know he's already there. There's a greater plan for me, bigger dreams than I could ever dream. He says, be still and know I'm everywhere. And as for tomorrow, well, I'm already there. There was, whoops, hold on. I was troubled, I used to wonder how it was that I get by. But who of us by fear and worry could add a single hour to our lives? So here I am, gathering up this manna, collecting only my daily share, 'cause I believe it'll fall on me tomorrow, because I know he's already there. There's a greater plan for me, bigger dreams than I could ever dream. He says, be still and know I'm everywhere. And as for tomorrow, well, I'm already there. There is peace that passes understanding. So just let go, 'cause he's already there. Just let go, he's already there.
Well, we only have one more Sunday, Lexi. Okay, and then we have to say goodbye to her for a little bit, but they make cars and hopefully they'll be back here to visit us, and we're gonna miss them. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to the book of Matthew. We have a baptism this morning, and we get to baptize Carson this morning. Excited about that. Matthew chapter, and then Brother Sean, someone got saved in Awanas on Wednesday night. Yeah. So, okay, Lakin got saved. Amen. Love to see the young people. You know, mentioned last Sunday, you know, when a child hears a story about Jesus, and you know, the Bible talks about childlike faith. You know, a child has no problem believing it, right? And when they hear that story about what Jesus did for them, and, you know, what he went through on the cross and how much he loved them, it is just really, really neat to see that take root in a child's heart. And they believe it and they accept it. And, you know, I've done this many times, won't do it today, but, you know, if I were to ask how many of you got saved when you were 6 or 7 years old, there'd be hands all over this room of people just like Carson, sat in a church service one day and God got a hold of her heart, and that's really excited. I'm excited about that. Matthew chapter 8, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to get back here to church. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather together and put some of the things of last year behind us. Lord, I ask that you would keep our church folks safe, Lord, that you would put a hedge of protection around us. Lord, just thank you. We took a lot for granted, and just thank you for being able to worship together. As we come before you, we don't want to forget, Father, you're a holy God. And Lord, we can't come before you with our sin, and just ask, Lord, that today that you would forgive us. Lord, as we examine our hearts this morning, that there'd be nothing between you and us, Lord. And Lord, we can, as sinners, fall on your grace. We confess our sins. You're faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, as we open the Bible this morning in our hearts, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. I can't help anybody, but you can. Lord, I pray that the conviction will be from the Holy Spirit, that you will let us know, Lord, what you would have for us from your word this morning. Jesus, thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, and I want you to look at verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, this story, of course, is recorded, and Jesus wanted us to know that one thing that he took note of was this man's faith, and how that he didn't need Jesus to come to his house because he believed that Jesus could just say it and it would happen. And when I look at this, and no doubt his faith is a tremendous witness and a tremendous testimony. But I want to point out something this morning that I'm reminded of when I look at this story, and I want to think of obedience. And you know, as humans, we don't. It's just human nature, especially for guys and for women, but for guys probably a little bit more so. Inside of us as people, we just don't like being told what to do. Nobody enjoys that. No, everybody has their own opinion. We often get offended when somebody tries to do that, when somebody tries to put an opinion on us or tell us that we need to do this or we need to do that, because usually the person telling us that is also a human being, and we get tripped up and saying, what right do they have to do that? But may I tell you something? As a Christian, we have to understand some things about obedience. You know, there's some words that we say. We call Jesus our master. If you call Jesus your master, you know what goes on the other side of that? Then you're admitting you're a servant. If you call Jesus the great shepherd, then you're admitting that you're a sheep. If you call Jesus your savior, then you're admitting that you're lost. Those names in of themselves link together an act of obedience. If he's going to be our master, then we are his servant. If he is my shepherd, then I'm a sheep, and I need the shepherd to take care of me. I need the shepherd to be involved in my life, and I need the shepherd to tell me what to do. If he's going to be my savior, then I have to acknowledge the fact that I was lost. And the fact that I was lost shows you that I couldn't do it on my own. I didn't have the right answers. I made some mistakes, so I welcome somebody telling me what to do, because I messed it up the first time and will continue to mess it up if I don't have guidance and direction in my life from the Lord Jesus Christ. And those words in and of itself talk about that a Christian has to acknowledge that there's somebody to be obeyed. Well, in this story, I think it's really neat. The centurion says this. He answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Immediately, he is taking his rightful position with somebody that he deems above him. He believes Jesus is above him. His position is higher than his position. And therefore, he is giving all authority. He's yielding all of his will to that person because he acknowledges that he is not worthy, but Jesus is. And it goes on here. It says, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. And then he begins to say this.
For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. Those of you that have been in the military before, when my son joined the military and he went to boot camp, I asked him how it was, and he said his instructor asked him a question one day. He said, why do you follow orders better than the other guys? Why do you listen more than the other guys? And my son told him this. He said, drill sergeant, the only difference between you and my dad is my dad didn't swear. You know? So if you've been in the military, you know that there is a chain of command. This was a military person, and he's saying, I have men under me that when I tell them, drop down and give me 10 push-ups, they're going to drop down and give me 10 push-ups. They're not going to ask me why. They're not going to ask me how long. They're just going to do it because they understand the authority that he has. I can tell a group of men, that man was over a bunch of soldiers, and he said, Jesus, I am a man of authority. And when I tell my men to go into battle, they go into battle. When I tell them to do this, they do that. When I tell them to go there, they go there. When I tell my servants I need this done, they do exactly what I'm telling. This man is he has a position over other men. He understands he is respected by those men. And because of that, those men, no question asked, will do what he says. And then he says, but you are on a higher authority than me. And I have no question that when you ask something to be done, it's going to be done. And it's going to be obeyed because of who you are. If they obey me, you're above this. And when you tell your servants to do something, they're going to do it. And he's talking about commanding a human body from miles away that God made. And the moment he speaks it, he knows that body's not going to, when he says to that body, be healed, he knows that that body has to do what his maker tells him to do. He knows that it has to follow the direction and do exactly, and he understands that God is in control, and that when God says it, it's going to be obeyed by his creation. But when you take it down to the people, and that's when in our fleshly nature, we begin to rebel against authority, not only the authority of other people, but most importantly, the authority of God. And he's saying, this man, and yes, his faith was great, but I look at that and I say, he understood what it was like to be in authority, and he was recognizing, and in his mind, he's saying, who in the world would tell God no? Who in the world? I mean, can you imagine talking to his soldiers and saying, hey, why'd you drop down and give him 10? He said, because you don't understand what he could do. You don't understand how complicated he's going to make my life. He is the guy in charge, and I wouldn't dare. How many of you had dads that it just made you break out in a sweat to think that he's coming home? And then you're going to have to explain to him. No dad in this room liked it when his kids disobeyed him. Every one of us have sat down with our children and we've gone through something and we say this, I told you to do that. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? And then they begin to make excuses, and what do? You shoot down every one of them. And you say, hey, that's not what I told you to do. And we had these conversations as parents, maybe even in a marriage. You know, we don't like it when somebody doesn't do what we ask them to do. We don't like it when somebody, you know, exercises their free will and disobeys us. But whenever that happens, I want you to think of something bigger than that, and that is the obedience to God. And here, the reason why he had no problem giving that over to Christ and saying, you don't have to come to my home, because he said this, I know when you say it, your creation's going to do what you tell it to do, so you don't need to come here, because I know that they're going to carry out your word. Now, only if we were like that. You know, and when you look at that, I want to look at some things that have to do with that. If you would, I want you to go to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 19. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. We can go up to, it says here in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Of course, that was Adam in the Garden of Eden, and his one action of disobedience spilled over to all of us. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. Let me show you the power of obedience. When Adam sinned in the garden, that was a result of being disobedient. That was a result of not listening to the person above you, not honoring God for who he was. So many people today, Christianity is beginning to have conversations with God and telling him what you're going to do and how you're going to feel, what you're going to put up with, what you're not going to put up with, what you're going to deal with. We've gotten to this thing that we're okay making deals with God. You do not make deals with the Creator. He doesn't have to make a deal. You don't get to talk it out with God because he's the Creator. All right, you don't get to say, well, I think it needs to be this way. I'm going to do it this way, and you're just going to have, it's just going to have to be the way it is. You would never, ever, ever say that to somebody that you believe made you. Remember, Paul said this. He said, listen, the Creator has power over the clay and always will. If he chose to do it, he could wad you up, and that would be the end. And he has that power, and he has that ability. We don't make deals with God. We don't get to tell him that we don't think this sin is a big deal, or we don't get to tell him, well, I really don't think that that really is all that important. We don't get to make those decisions because we're the clay. He's the potter, and he's God. And on that day, Adam took that authority from God. He disobeyed God, all plunged into sin. But may I tell you something? Let me show you the power of obedience. When God asked his son Jesus Christ to go to the cross for us, do you know what Jesus did? He was obedient. And that obedience did away with the disobedience of one man. The obedience of another man set us free. And you know what? Never forget this. There is a reason why God let us look into the garden as Jesus prayed. He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But you know what he said, Chris? He said, Dad, no matter what, I'm going to obey you. Not my will, but thine be done. You can't go to God and ask him to save you and then hold on to what you want. Because he's the Creator. We're the creation. In the Bible, over and over again. And it's not, guys, it's not the sins that we think, the bad sins, adultery, the things that we put in this big list. Do you know Jonah got swallowed by a whale because he simply told God, I'm not going to Nineveh. And then all of a sudden, a huge storm came up. A boat almost sank. You know, he was thrown overboard. A big whale swallowed him up. He spent 3 days in the belly of a whale simply because he had gotten in a position that he dared look at God and say, I'm not going. And creation doesn't tell the Creator what he's going to do. And when you do that, there's consequences on the other side. And you can go throughout the whole entire Bible, story after story. Do you know the reason why Saul lost his kingdom? Saul lost his kingdom as a king because God told him to go kill King Agag and to kill all the sheep and to kill all of those things. And he didn't do it. Saul, although he was king, decided he was king over the king. And when the king said, hey, I want you to kill everybody there, that the creation decided in his mind, he began to think and he began to rationalize why he thought it's okay to go against the word of God, and go against God himself. He no longer thought it important to obey every single word. If you look with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, let me read this to you. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and then verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, obey is behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin as witchcraft. Now listen, nobody like witchcraft makes Christians uncomfortable, period. But when the Bible says here to that king, because what happened? Samuel disobeyed. God reached down, took his kingdom from him, because he said, I want you to kill that king. He didn't go out and get drunk. He didn't go out, he didn't have a problem with an addiction. He just had a problem with himself, and he honestly thought he could just do whatever he wanted to do in his mind. Listen, before you get be hard on Saul, understand that we as Christians all the time do the very same thing. We, in our mind, you know, say, well, maybe God doesn't think it's a really big deal that I forsake the assembling of myself together. We decide how many days God's okay with us missing church. We decide how many cuss words that it's okay to watch in a movie. We decide how many times this is going to be. We're the ones that begin to rationalize in our mind what God wants. Instead of just listening to what he already says, we begin to rationalize. And then we say, well, this is okay, and this is all right. And I think God's going to understand. Listen, no, he's not. He is the creator, and he is to be obeyed. Amen. Period. Now, here's some things that I want to mention to you. There's some things, reasons why that God is to be obeyed. Number one, it's because of his power. There's none like him. Number two, it's because of his knowledge. He knows everything. Amen. Number three, it's because of his position. He is Alpha and Omega, Amen. The beginning and the end. He is everything and everything in between. Okay, and the last reason why he is to be obeyed, not his great power, he has great knowledge, he has great position, but may I tell you, the number one motivating factor in every believer's heart is his great love to me and you. He says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. If you're not going to obey him because of his knowledge, if you're not going to obey him because of his position, if you're not going to obey him because of his power, certainly we can all agree that every born-again believer ought to have a desire in their heart to do what God says simply because of his overwhelming love to me and you. Amen. That on that point at all, I mean, you know, over and over again in history and books and movies, what happens when somebody saves somebody else's life? You see it over again in the movie. They come up and they're, why are you following me? Well, I'm in your indentured servant for the rest of my life. I'm sworn to protect you because you gave your life for me. Well, where do you think they got an idea like that? Because when you come to Jesus Christ and you ask him to save you, you're admitting that you did something against the Creator. You're understanding that he has power to send you to hell. But because he loves you, he doesn't want to do that. And you're accepted his gift. And with that ought to become an overwhelming desire to obey him. Amen. On every word. Do you know that at the last day, the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. And you know, I've said this before, I don't think an angel's going to be walking around with a big stick and have to come up to Chris and say, hey, did you hear him? He said, bow down. I don't think he's going to have to do that. Do you know just the pure sight of who he is and understanding his position? I'm not going to have to tell you to bow. You're going to do it automatically. The same reason when the demons came in direct contact with Jesus, do you know what? They weren't running their mouth, Chris. They weren't over there saying, hey, who do you think you are, Mr. He didn't do, you know what they said when they saw Jesus? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Have you come to torment us before our time? And then they said, please have mercy on us. Let us go into the pigs. Those are beings that were on the other side before the fall. They know who God is. And although they don't follow God, and although they don't serve God, Greg, they're afraid of God. They know that he's not to be messed with. They know who he is, and they know what he can do. Now, should we fear God? You should fear him if you don't know him. Absolutely fear him if you don't know him. Because the only thing that separates you from wrath and hell is a relationship with Jesus Christ. People said, can a loving God send people to hell? Listen, we have to come to this grip. Do you understand? He can do whatever he wants, and he doesn't have to okay it with me. He really doesn't care whether you think it's fair. He doesn't. You're not going to have that conversation with him. You're not going to be able to tell him, well, I don't think that, or I don't think this, or I don't know why you let this happen. Trust me, God is good all the time, and his judgment is right and true. We don't have to understand it. He's God. All I know is that any question that I would have about God and who he is, even if I wasn't a believer, you still wouldn't want to get on the other side of him. He's God. The devil doesn't even want to do this. The demons don't even want to get on the other side of him because he's God. But isn't it so wonderful that being God himself, the creator of the universe, also loves us with the same intensity? And then when he gave us his son on the cross, he said, whosoever will, come unto me. We don't have to deal with what's there. We can come to him, and he forgives us. But when he does, and you look and you think about what he did so that you can go to heaven, he let his son, Jesus experiencing the death on the cross is one thing. All the pain, just because he was God doesn't mean that he didn't feel the pain. But I want you to shift gears for just a second. I want you to think what it would be like for God in heaven to be able to speak anything to existence that he wants to. And he watched Jesus do that. Do you know, Greg, that when God watched Abraham and Isaac's laying on that altar, and Isaac's tied and Abraham's standing over him, and he's getting ready to sacrifice his son, God could not stand the thought of watching a dad do that, that he called it off. Right before that knife went into Isaac, God said, Abraham, you don't have to do that. He said, now I know that you love me. You know why God called? Because it wasn't something that he wanted to see. But may I tell you something? Several thousand years later, he had to watch from Calvary as men spit on his son, and he couldn't do anything about it. Oh, he could, but he didn't. Not only did Jesus have to take the spit running down his face, his Father in heaven had to watch that be done and not move. I mean, not only did Jesus have to endure the cat of nine tails, God had to watch it happen. Not only did Jesus have to be there as those people bowed down to him and said, if you're the Son of God, you think about the mockery. Not only did Jesus have to endure that, not only did he have to go through that, but his Heavenly Father had to watch that happen. And when the Bible says this, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know what they told the parents in the Old Testament? If your son or daughter is rebellious and they don't listen to you, and you've corrected them over and over again, what does the Bible say? There's always a verse that haunted me when I was a kid. Because I'm thinking, my mom and dad are Bible believers, and I don't know how far this is going to go. But in the Bible, it says that they took that child out and they stoned him. Why? Because he was smoking pot in the bathroom? No. It's because he was being disobedient to his parents. And it wasn't necessarily what he was doing that was the big deal. It was the fact that those parents, a mom, risked her life. Think about this. How sad is it for a child to look at their mom and say, I hate you, when that mom risked her life to bring a child into the world? Right? How hard is it for a kid to disrespect a dad that works all week long to bring home a paycheck to take care of his family, and that kid run his mouth or say something disrespectful? And that's the reason why God said, if a child's going to be rebellious like that and it's going to be disrespectful to the people that have given him life, you take them out and you stone them. Now, thank God for the New Testament, or else all of us would be dead. Amen. Okay? But the reason why that was a big thing is because God said it is not right for that individual to take life from that couple and then treat those people as though it didn't matter what they did. And on a bigger thing, it's even bigger for us. Think about that. If God said to do those to those children, what does he think when we disobey him? And may I tell you something? If you disobey him and you enter eternity without Christ, you can't fix it. Because he said, many will say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You're not going to go, but, check the church. No, you are not going to. Do you know that he would have the ability to even reach in and just shut your mouth? You're not going to be able to debate with him and say, well, I think that's unfair. Can we have a meeting? Can we sit down and go over? Do you know why? Because you disobeyed him. And he said that without Christ, Jesus said, I am. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And unless you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you die lost. You can't fix it. You can't discuss it. There's not going to be any other options. You're not going to be able to even tell your side of it and be able to say, well, this is why I don't think I wasn't really that bad. I wasn't as bad as somebody else. That's it. Well, those are for those that are unsaved. May I tell you something for those that are saved? If you have a problem with authority and you have a problem with somebody telling you what to do, I get that down here. But there, if you cannot bend a knee to the your God, your Savior, your Creator, if you can't put your will on that altar and say this, I no longer have a right to an opinion when it comes between me and God, you don't. You do not have a right of an opinion with him. Because you've accepted what he's given you. Right? So wherever he tells you to go, you go. Whatever he tells you to do, you do. You wouldn't dare not do something that the Creator of the universe told you to do. But now wind it back on a daily basis. I can go story after story after story. The reason why Abraham ended up with Ishmael instead of Isaac at first is because of disobedience. The reason why Eve ate that apple in the garden or whatever fruit that was because of disobedience. The reason why Jonah ended up in a whale was because of disobedience. The reason why Samson got his eyeballs poked out as God told him not to cut his hair and he did it anyway, it was because of disobedience. It's not necessarily the act of sin or the level of sin that it is. It comes down to the fact that you did something God told you not to do, or you didn't do, or you didn't do something God told you to do. Right? So, what if we left here today? I don't know, when I was reading this, I just thought about how many times. You know, I'm a dad, right? And there are times when I've gone to correct my son. And, you know, and you think, okay, what you've done deserves this penalty, this many swats or whatever, however you're going to do that. Okay? At that moment, as you're passing judgment on that person because you're upset that they did something you told them not to do, do you know what overwhelms me? In the quietness of my own mind. As I hold the instrument of destruction in my hand and can yield it however I want, do you know what haunts me? How many times I've disobeyed God. How many times on a daily basis I tell God no. How many times I do what I want and not what God wants. And everybody in this room is guilty of that very same thing. And it ought to humble us. And one gift that we can give God is the gift of obedience, to say, he gave us his word. It's to be followed. It's to be obeyed. I can go over it, spend all kinds of time in showing you the benefit of obedience in the Bible. But what ought to bother us is this. When you see him, immediately you're gonna get in a position. It's all in the Bible. Every time somebody sees God in the Bible, you see him on their knees. You know what you're saying? You're God, I'm not. Do you know, do you think you're going to be standing in front of God with your hands in your pocket doing this number? No. Immediately, you're going to be overwhelmed with love that you've never seen in your whole life. You're going to be in awe of incredible power that your imagination can't even think of. And you're going to find the lowest place in that room to get, because you're going to understand that you are nothing, but he loves you anyways. Isn't that amazing? That we're nothing, but he... Is it hard for us to understand that we are nothing? In fact, David said that. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou wouldest visited him? And do you know that the only thing I could ever give Jesus Christ for what he did for me is to obey him? I can give him that. I can't make it up for him for what he did on the cross. I can't. There's nothing I can possibly give. But you know what I can? I can recognize his position. I can recognize him as my master, and I'm gladly his servant. I can recognize him as my shepherd and understand I'm a sheep. I can recognize him as my savior and understand I needed saving, right? And if you understand that, well, then the outcome would be, let's obey him. You know, it might be to bite your tongue. It might be he wants you to forgive somebody that you can't forgive. I could write a list of things that we're guilty of disobeying God on a daily basis. And we have come used to that because, you know why? Because the sky didn't fall on us. Because I still have all my limbs, all right? And because I wasn't involved in a bad act. So you almost get to the point in your mind that you think that maybe it's not as big of a deal to do something God told you not to do. And Christians, we've gotten comfortable with that. And we should never be comfortable with disobeying God. It ought to grieve our heart to think that we would lay our head on a pillow having done something God told us not to do, or having not done something God told us to do. I'll give you this illustration. It happened when I was on an airplane, and there was a guy next to me, and he was tattooed from one end to the other, had all kinds of body piercings, and he just looked scary. And I can remember sitting there and feeling God telling me that I need to go have a conversation with that guy. Now, I didn't want to do that. Why? Because he could like pinch my head, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, this is so intimidating. And I literally had a struggle inside of me. I was at another airport sitting next to a lady. I had a Bible open on my lap. I was reading the Bible, waiting for somebody to take me to Bible college. The young lady looked over and asked me what I was reading. And you know what? I told her I'm reading the Bible, and then I started reading it again. And all inside of my heart, I could feel the God saying, you need to talk to her. I mean, come on, Dave. How much better can you get? You know, seriously? You're going to just let that go. And you know what, guys? I did. She got up. She walked a little bit away waiting for her bus. And I'm thinking, I still got a chance. I still got a chance. I still got a chance. I could feel in my heart God wanted me to talk to her. But you know what? I didn't want to. For my own reasons. And she got on that bus, and God in heaven had to look down at somebody who he saved and said, I can't believe you embarrassed me that day. And guys, that's just sad that we would even do that to him, right? But man, one thing we can do is you can tell him you're sorry, and tomorrow you can start obeying him. Right. And do you know what? Just as your kid comes up, and those of you that have ever had to spank a child, you know what they do? They grab your leg and they tell you, I'm sorry, Daddy. Will you forgive me? You know what? Immediately that goes in the past and you move on to you know, he's still your son. You still take care of him. You don't talk about it. You move on. May I tell you something? That's available by God today from every one of his children that have been disobedient. It's just tell him you're sorry. And then use these things to help us understand that he is to be obeyed. Because of his position, because of his knowledge, because of his power, but most importantly, because of his love.
If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. If you'd stand to your feet, we'll have a time of invitation this morning. And if Carson's parents want to get her ready in the back, we'll get ready. You know, and I was thinking about this on my own. You know, Cassidy asked her dad one time, you know, how I came up with these sermons, you know. And you know what the honest to goodness truth about that is? It's because God dealt with me about it. And if pastors would be honest, that's where most of them come from. It's my journey that I just shared with you guys. A journey where I know that I have not always done what God told me to do, but he's worthy of that. And boy, I tell you what, I cannot fix yesterday, but I can do something about tomorrow if I get it. I can be obedient to him tomorrow. I need to be reminded before I ever utter those words, I won't or I can't or this is to understand that my position before God is on my knees because he is God and he is to be obeyed because of who he is. Now, thank God for his mercy and thank God for his love and thank God I will never see hell. I'll never know what the flames feel like. I'll never know what the lost hope in my heart feels like. You know why? Because I simply did what he asked me to do. I was obedient and I admitted that I was a sinner. I recognized God died for me and paid for that sin on the cross, and I asked him to save me. And it's because of that I have this wonderful, undeserving relationship with the God of heaven. And with all those other names, guess that's what he is. He's my father, and I'm his child. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask Brother Sean to come, and he's going to finish this invitation for me, but he'll be up here when they start playing. If you're here and you're lost, guys, every Sunday I pray, God, there's people here that don't know. I don't know how to I can't make somebody move. I can just tell you, there's no way in the world I'd go out in eternity without knowing where I'm going. And you know what? Maybe you're here and you just never told anybody what happened. Maybe you've already asked Christ to save you in your heart, but you've never shared. Do you know you need to be obedient and tell somebody because he says so? You know what Carson's getting ready to do in just a minute? We're going to have a baptism. Why? She got saved last Sunday. She's getting baptized because God told her to get baptized. Because of what it represents. Maybe there's somebody in this room that's been saved for years but just has never been baptized. Maybe there's somebody in this room that's been saved but hasn't told anybody. Well, boy, no greater time than today than to be obedient to what God wants you to do. And if you're like me and you're honest with yourself, you've disobeyed him this week. And a good place to get that right is at this old-fashioned altar, Brother Sean. Seeing if you'll pray, Brother Sean, if you'll come up and lead this.
Man, what a message. How many times I've disobeyed God, how many times he's told me that I need to listen to what he says. And this book tells me over and over again about how I need to obey him. And I want to tell you something. The greatest day that I ever obeyed him was the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you're sitting here and you're not saved, don't walk out of here without obeying this call. Don't walk out of here without Jesus. Carson's fixing to get baptized this morning. And one of the things that's great about it is she got that took care of at an early age. As you sit here and you get older and you get older and it gets easier and easier, you become more callous to the call. Right now, the Lord's calling at a tender moment. Obey. Obey that call. Don't turn away what he's offering you today. If you're too nervous to come up here, bow your head. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One day that was the name Sean West when I called. Put your name in that spot and call on Jesus and ask him to save you. Do it where you sit. Do it where you sit. Bow to him today and confess him as your Lord. or take a step, come down here and I'll open up this book and I'll show you what it says in this Bible about how to get saved. Is there anybody here? Anybody like to come forward and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? I need to hit this altar today because of the fact that God tells me every day, and so many stories I've had times in my life where I should have told people about what the good news of the gospel is and about how he's changed my life. And I've let people walk right through the grocery store when God told me to tell them. I've let people walk through my life and I've never told them, and I need to ask God forgiveness of that. I pray God gives me another opportunity and another chance to obey. Thank you for your attention. Brother Ronnie, you want to come up and lead us in congregation song? Or do we need to put this down first?
Okay, that way you can see her, okay? All right, Carson, 9 years old, right? Six. I don't know why I inverted that in my head. Last Sunday, I told you, when she came for last Sunday before I left my house, actually it was Saturday night, I was studying, and I was praying, you know, this whole COVID thing on pastors is, I know it's been hard on everybody, but pastors for sure, because the very thing that you're supposed to do, you can't do. And I prayed and I said, God, If you're still working and this still matters, would you give us something special this Sunday? Now, I didn't put any other request out there other than that, right? But when Carson walked the aisle with her dad last Sunday, that was pretty. It's special because she got saved, amen? It was also special that God reached down and said, hey, you just keep doing what you're supposed to do, I'll do the rest, amen? So Carson, if you died today, do you know where you'd go? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Amen. Let me get this right there so I don't pull it in on us. I think I can do it from there. Okay, ready? Okay. Here, I'll just take this off. Okay, it's my privilege, Carson, to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life, and everybody said,
amen.
And do you know what Carson was just now? Good job. Good job. You know what she was just now? She was obedient. Right? Okay? I don't know if she is or not wondering, well, why do I have to get baptized? You know, she didn't fight that. She wanted to do that. Why? Because she was being obedient, and it's good to be obedient. Well, if we can get the lights and stand. Brother Greg, can you close us in prayer? And also, I just want to, there will be a, Chris, if you can put an offering plate up there, if you'd like to have a part in that roof, the offering plate will be there. And the sign-up sheet for the seniors is there. And then one more thing, if we could have a deacon and trustee meeting at 5 o'clock, if you can make it for that, that would be great. Brother Greg, would you close us in prayer?